I can't tell you how many people have come up to me in the past few weeks to tell me about their lives going entirely insane, okay? And so many people have just shrugged their shoulders and said, well, it's Lent, right? You know, sometimes we think of Lent as a healing time in which we take on certain spiritual practices to grow close to Jesus. And other times, our entire life seems to have become a penitential season. And we're put face to face with the example of our Lord. His temptation in the wilderness, his betrayal by Judas, his suffering in Gethsemane, his torturous death on the cross. And we look at those events and pray for the grace to be like Jesus in times of our passion and suffering. You know, it may seem a little strange that on this Sunday, Laetare Sunday, so filled with joy in the middle point of this Lenten season, we hear from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians on darkness. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. If we look at our Lord, what do we see? A man who heals and preaches and teaches, but who is accused of having a demon inside of him. A man who has entire groups of people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, against him, who are always trying to trip him up with his own words, who are plotting and scheming against him privately and publicly. A man who is sold out by one of his closest friends for 30 pieces of silver, bound, whipped, and crowned with thorns. As we journey through Lent and we see the plot against the Christ rev up, we see as the powers of darkness gather and concentrate in what seems to be a terrifying manner. And Paul tells us that we are to expose the darkness. But how do we do that? If we look at Jesus, he doesn't tell us how to do that by means of a parable or a well-crafted maxim. He exposed darkness because he was light. The enemies of our Lord were emboldened to greater and sicker maneuvers against him because the light that radiated from him showed up that they were evil, corrupt, and ridden with pride. What is even more remarkable is that the more they caused him to suffer because of their darkness, the more his light shone forth. As Isaiah chapter 53 predicted, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. You know, when we're hurting, when we're mistreated, when we are wronged, our tendency is to insist on our rights, on our innocence, and to shout and scream and yell to everyone who will listen our truth. And then if we're not careful, we can begin to manipulate and to twist if we have to get our point across. And then before we realize it, we become darkness too. But our Lord shows us a different way. The way of silence. The way of humility. That is how darkness is truly exposed for what it is. And then we count not on our own strength and our own ability, but on that of God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My friends, this is the reason that in the midst of our Lenten desert, wandering around in the penitential season that we call life, that as much as life sometimes can seem awfully bewildering and painful, we know, because our Lord has promised, that there will be triumph and glory and joy. The Eternal Father raised up Jesus from the dead, and the fruit of his suffering was the redemption of the world. The Eternal Father chose the Virgin Mary out of all the children of Eve to exalt because of her humility. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. My friends, if you're like me, you can't wait for this Lent to be over. And I'm not talking about the 40 days of the liturgical year, but the penitential season that we go through in life now. Our Holy Mother, the Church, today showers us with roses, peals the bells and the organ in joy, and relaxes her sacrificial rickers to remind us that paschal joy is right around the corner. Let the heathens rage, let the demons fly, let the world pass away. For if God is for us, who can be against us?